Hey guys, it's me, Heather, again. I didn't think I was going to be popping in again so soon with another quick check-in that goes outside of our normal Wednesday schedule. But it's been an important week over here, and I wanted to include all of you in it with me. I've also gone a little bit rogue and given Clark the night off as I record this. So it's just you and me chatting and hanging out for just a few moments. You may or may not have already listened to the episode that I did last week about the vulnerability of adult friendship after childhood trauma. Personally, that was a really pivotal episode for me, as I shared with all of you how adult friendships have been the source of both my greatest joys and my greatest sorrows. More specifically, I shared with all of you how 2023 was a really hard year for me when it came to friendship. I talked briefly about how I had ended one friendship at the beginning of the year and spoke of a more crushing loss at the end of the year when a relationship that I had experienced more as a sisterhood just blew up. I hadn't been prepared at the time to share more than that with all of you. The story I had been telling myself was that I couldn't talk about it with all of you until I'd had all of the pieces together, until I could name the key lessons and the takeaways, and until my pain could have some kind of point or purpose for all of you. I told myself I needed to have more of my shit together to be able to talk about it, and for my talking about it to have any kind of value for you. As with most of the stories we tell ourselves, it was exactly that, a story. Because you see, while I hadn't been ready to share my details with all of you, I had shared them on another podcast. The breakup in November devastated me. And when it had happened, I was consumed by my heartbreak. I found solace in my own favorite podcast called It's Gonna Be Okay. I've shared it with you on the show a time or two. I wrote to their team. I shared some of my story and how I had come to start healing. I shared both my pain and my okay thing, and they actually published my story a few weeks ago. I thought the story was just gonna stay there in their podcast, until I shared it privately with a mayhem listener, and she encouraged me to let the rest of you in on it. Then, two other listeners stumbled upon it by happenstance because I'd already recommended the podcast to all of you a few times. I'd recorded my essay for the podcast, and our own mayhem listeners recognized me. They both reached out to me separately and shared how meaningful they had found what I had shared. They, too, thought more of my story belonged here on Mayhem, and they'd hoped I'd share it with all of you. So here I am, sharing already enough and a bit much. It's episode 250 of the It's Gonna Be Okay podcast, and I will link to it in the show notes. This episode features a poem titled, appropriately for the title of the podcast, A Bit Much by Lindsay Rush, a piece that grabbed my heart, helped me feel seen, and ultimately helped me accept myself a little bit more. I know I could probably get away with just sharing the link with all of you and calling it a day, but I don't think I've come this far to only have come this far. Yes, my heart was broken, and yes, I have begun to heal, but that isn't the whole story either, and I have decided that if I'm going to share the episode with you, I also have to share how this whole entire thing plays right into everything that we talk about every week on Mayhem, how recovering from childhood trauma makes some things really hard for us, and how my own childhood makes friendship really hard for me. As you're going to hear on It's Gonna Be Okay, when my sister friend broke up with me, she didn't go quietly. She blew it up with a full-on character assassination. She was mean and awful. She attacked all of my favorite things about myself, and she weaponized the way that I love. She left everything that we had shared in ashes, ensuring there wouldn't be anything left to resuscitate. And God damn it, it hurt so much. It hurt so much, and it still hurts so much. Not just because my heart was broken, though, and not just because she was mean, but because it had happened again. It had happened again. Someone who once loved me, who started out as my very best friend, had changed their mind about me. It had happened again. You see, that's my childhood wound. Regular listeners of the show have probably already heard me talk about how my mom died when I was in kindergarten. My dad instantly became a single dad to an almost 2-year-old and an almost 6-year-old, and Sandra was one of our babysitters, although it's kind of weird to call her that because she was actually older than my dad. She was awesome. She was so cool. I have so many great memories of her from that time. I think my favorite is actually a time when she got us these white t-shirts for me and my neighborhood girlfriends. She helped us tie-dye them and then use puffy paint to put our initials on the shirts. All of my girlfriends really loved her too. At some point, she and my dad had started dating, but they hadn't told my sister or I. They had kept it pretty much quiet from everyone. My sister and I found out that they were dating and getting married on the same day, the day of the wedding. I had been heading into 3rd grade at the time, and my sister was heading into kindergarten. And while that sounds kind of weird and really messed up, it really at the time was like one of the best surprises of all time. I was really thrilled. I loved Sandra so much, and now she would never have to leave my house. She was going to be my mom. I was going to have a mom again. And oh my gosh, it made me so happy. White dress and purple polka dots and all. I got to be in the wedding too. Me and my sister were flower girls. And it was the best day ever. And we got to ride in a limo. In my memory, though, things shifted almost immediately. I had been outside barefoot that same week of the wedding. I was swinging super high on the swing, getting as high as I could and jumping off. I always, always loved that sensation of my body just flying through the air and then landing. I loved soaring. In my memory, I had been doing that. In my own world, where out of nowhere, I hear Sandra scream at me to put some shoes on and that I couldn't be barefoot outside. It didn't make sense to me. I'd always been barefoot. Now that she was my stepmom, I couldn't be. And suddenly she talked to me in that way. That's the story that started so much of my own therapy over the years. The way I experienced that transition was one second she loved me, and then the next, when she had become my mom, she was just up to here with me. I remember feeling like, as my mom, she didn't like me as much as when she was my babysitter. My wise 47-year-old mind can now tell you that Sandra isn't a narcissist, and I've never ever believed her to be one. She does struggle significantly with anxiety, but I never knew that as a kid. I just always experienced her as harsh and controlling, and she said a lot of mean things to me over the years. I grew up feeling isolated, unliked, and separate in my own family. It was clear to me that the way I moved through the world just set her teeth on edge. My wise mind can tell you that that makes sense. As a kid, I was high energy, unruly, enthusiastic, talking all the time. I'm sure no surprises there. I had a lot of opinions, and most were different from hers. I didn't scare easily, and I was easily delighted. I've always been me. I was also absent-minded, clumsy, unfocused. I was impulsive. I never tried in school, and no one ever pushed me to because I was the kid whose mom had died, and every teacher after kindergarten knew that about me, so they just all let me skate through, had zero expectations, and told my dad it was okay that I was a C student. My dad and Sandra knew I was capable of being a better student, and they were right, but the only way they knew how to get me there was to shut everything down. That kind of kid paired with a highly anxious adult, and we can see the clusterfuck emerge. The more unruly I was, the more anxious she was, and the more controlling she became. She became stricter and stricter and more restrictive. When she met me, I was always sleeping over friends' houses or having friends sleep over at my house. By the sixth grade, I was never allowed to go to friends' houses, and none were allowed over to mine. Right until I left for college, I never had a curfew because I was never actually allowed to go out. I grew up pretty lonely in my own room, working for my dad or going to the library. I only had friends at school, and as you might imagine, it's hard to get close to people when you can't spend time with them outside of class. Socially, I was a disaster. My world kind of came crashing down around me one morning in the seventh grade. Sandra had yelled at me because my hairbrush was on the wrong dresser. And I just started crying, and I couldn't stop. I was crying in the car on the way to school and sat in homeroom with my eyes just leaking tears until a friend told the teacher, and the teacher sent me to the guidance counselor, and I just cried in her office for the whole damn day. And it's like it finally hit me. My mom had died. She was never coming back, and it was permanent. That was the start of a depression that didn't really end until the summer going into my sophomore year of college, when I started to find myself a bit more, get to know myself, and develop an identity outside of my mom dying and my stepmother not liking me. And throughout that time, I never quite recovered or reconciled with the idea of how she had really seemed to like me so much, and then suddenly she just didn't. And that's the pattern that has chased me my entire life. My energy, the way I move through the world, the way I show up, being something at the start seems attractive and worth loving until it doesn't. The monkey on my back has always been that people I have loved change their minds about me, and it always feels like it hits me out of nowhere, because it's usually when I'm the most happy, the most in my own skin, the most myself. It is a pattern that has repeated numerous times, but shit, this time I had really thought I had had it licked. If you and I had been talking together in 2022, I would have told you I had it all figured out. I had a solid friend group, a tribe, women I loved fiercely and who loved me right back. I thought the work, as we like to call it, was behind me. I was good. I had started reinventing my career into what all of you have come to know as Daughters NPD and Mother Mayhem. I wasn't happy that I had started 2023 by ending a friendship, but I had accepted that I had made a choice that I needed to. But the end of that year, shit. I did not see that one coming. I'd imagined my sister friend and I as old ladies, as golden girls in our rockers. Just weeks earlier, we had been together, and she had taken a nap and fallen asleep with her head on my shoulder. Not for the first time. I had felt that safe to her just weeks before. The floor was taken from under me when she blew it all up. She broke my heart, and I couldn't quite believe I was there again. And as you might imagine, there has been grief. You're hearing it. And there has been honest reflection on my role in all of this. It is not lost on me, and of course she pointed it out, lest I forget, that I myself had quite a track record of disrupted relationships behind me. Like it or not, I'm the common denominator, right? Me. Who I am, how I move through the world, how I show up, it's a lot. The hardest part of healing has been realizing that there's very little I would change. I really wish that weren't true. I wish I could point out something to all of you that I didn't like about myself, a part of me I thought was a problem, something that I could fix that would undo the ending. But alas, I was me. I was who I was. I loved her with my whole heart, unconditionally. And apparently, I told her that just a few times too often. Everything about me suddenly became too much or not enough. Too much or not enough for her. That's what I've been working on accepting. Parts of me were too much, other parts were not enough. It hurts, but also I have spent nearly a year with all of you talking to you about building better relationships with yourselves. And this, my friends, is why. Not so you come to know yourself so well that you get rejected, but so that you know yourself, learn to accept yourself, and then you find your people who can meet you in that place and love you for who you are. That is what the work looks like after doing the work, my friends. Now I know I can't shapeshift to be smaller, different, less of this, more of that. I can apologize for the things I failed in and mistakes I made. And of course, I tried to do that. I know too that I have more work to do on my own boundaries. When things are going well for me, but harder for other people that I love, I do tend to give them a pass. And being a therapist can be a hazard in relationships. When I understand why someone's doing something, even if it feels disrespectful, I tend to give them a pass too. And while I think of my emotional intelligence as my superpower, I have been told that it makes me hard to be in relationship with, that it can be a lot. I also think that once relationships get super close, I lean on the intimacy and the trust instead of communication. We know we love each other, so I assume things are understood without having to be said. I assume my intentions are trusted to be good, and I assume that the other person didn't mean it that way and that their intentions are good too. I create that story because I know their hearts. So, of course, for me, XYZ doesn't really matter that much. You've heard me acknowledge that I over-explain and can overshare sometimes. It is a bad leftover habit from trying to avoid conflict in childhood. I can also be sensitive to inconsistency in relationships. I can own all of these parts of me, and I know if you lined up all the ghosts in my graveyard of friendships past, they'd probably add a few more things to the list. But I can't love differently. I can be aware of all of those things, and I can work on them, but I can't move through the world differently. I can't not be me. I can't self-abandon. Healing has meant returning to self-acceptance, digging in to self-acceptance. I can also own unequivocally that I am a fucking good friend to and for the people who want to be mine. I'm good for the people who are capable of and interested in receiving that kind of love that I have to offer. I accept, too, that not everyone fits that bill. I make mistakes, but nothing is done out of malice or ill intent, and I will always try to repair anything I broke if the person is willing to let me try. And while I am here, in my own space, let me also say that there is simply nothing I did that warranted the treatment I received. The way it all went down, I didn't deserve that. I've grabbed onto some poems and song lyrics throughout this time. If someone else wrote it, someone else felt it, and that makes us all a little less alone in it. In the episode I shared with you of It's Gonna Be Okay, I read a poem by Lindsay Rush. It's called A Bit Much. Since I wrote that essay, a friend of mine found something on Facebook that also speaks to me really deeply. I've tried several times to find the author, but I couldn't. So let me state really super clearly that what I'm about to read, I didn't write. The author is unknown to me at the moment, and if I ever learn of the author, I will for sure update the show notes for this episode. But here goes. When I'm all in, I'm all in. If you're my people, I truly mean that. You're my people. When I love, I love. So I'm going to call. I'm going to text. I'm going to ask you how you are. I'm going to want to hang out. I'm probably going to drop off a gift or two, and I'm going to want to know what's going on in your life, and I'm going to tell you what's going on in mine. I know it's a lot. I know it's too much for some people. I know it is, but it's who I am. It's who I've always been. I'm working on boundaries, and I'm working on not coming off like a puppy dog who just came inside for the first time all day. I'm working on making sure it all comes from an overflow of the love I have inside as opposed to the feeble attempt to earn approval. I never want to be desperate or needy or clingy, but sometimes I am. Sometimes I am searching for validations, and I'm working on that. But I care. I have a high capacity for friendship, and I will always crave connection. It's wired into my DNA, so I don't think it's going anywhere. If that's not something you can handle, listen, I get it. And I'm not mad. I don't blame you in the least. You aren't the first, and you won't be the last. But go find less. You won't have any trouble, because there's an abundance of less out there. If I could change, I promise I would. I've spent the majority of my life trying to fit the mold, but I like me. I like giving. I like showing up. I like bells and whistles and hoopla and not caring what anyone thinks. I am most comfortable when you know exactly where I stand and when my entire heart is on the line. It's how I operate. I don't like walking on eggshells, pretending surface-level stuff, or playing it cool just to fit in. I don't like wondering if you like me or if you don't. I don't like constantly wondering if I'm living up or down to who you want me to be, and I absolutely cannot stand halfway friendship. And while it wouldn't be fair of me to expect you to snap your fingers and be someone you're not, I guess it goes both ways. So you can love it about me, or you can hate it about me. But when I'm in, I'm all in. Okay, all right, a few tears on that one as I read it to you. But the first time I read it, I was full on weeping. So many of you have written into the show about how it makes you feel seen. And that has always been my greatest privilege to know. And I will never tire of hearing you guys tell me how seen you feel by Mother Mayhem. I think, though, that I really did come to understand on a deeper level what this show has come to mean to you. Because, shit, after I read that, I had never felt so seen by someone I didn't know. And that really is me. All in. That's my challenge. Accepting it about myself, I am already enough. I'm a bit much, but holy fuck, I am also all in. That's where healing has brought me to, a deeper sense of knowing myself, accepting myself, and understanding that that means being unapologetic about all of it. I don't mind telling you, you're hearing it. I'm a work in progress on it, but I'm working on it. I didn't know I was going to share any of this at any point in time, but now that it is out there, I really do hope it serves as an example for you of what the work after the work sometimes looks like. I hope, too, that it helps you see what I mean when I say each week that I'm in it with you. I'd like to think that when you heard me read about being all in, you thought to yourselves, yep, that's Heather. I hope you saw me in those words. I hope when you hear me say all in, you see and hear the proof that I am all in on this community, all in on this podcast, and all in on how I show up over on Instagram. We're a community of women around the world in this together at different places in the journey. Thank you for allowing me the space and time to share mine. Bye for now.